This time I'd like to call to order the special meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. It's a zoning meeting, May 29th, 2019. The time is 6:30 p.m. Present are Trustee D'Antonio, Trustee Goodman, and Joe Schaefer, Director of Zoning and Development. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees will be recorded. The meeting audio and written minutes will be available on Genoa Township's website at www.genoatwp.com or by contacting Genoa's fiscal office. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person. There's no yielding of time. Case number ZC 2019-04, Vinmar Village 4 and 5, Final Development Plan. Meeting has been called to order. And this time, if you would, anyone interested in testifying, making public comments, if you would please rise, raise your right hand, I'll swear you all in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God. Thank you. Very good. I will now read the legal notice that was posted. The Reserve of Vinmar LLC requesting approval of a final development plan to build 71 single-family homes on 74.946 acres at parcel numbers 31721007017001, 31721007018000, 31712005009000, vacant farmland just north of Vinmar Village, currently zoned Planned Residential Development, PRD, also known as Vinmar Village 4 and 5, ZC case number 2019-04. The legal notice for this meeting was printed and published on May 10th, 2019 in the Delaware Gazette and posted at the Genoa Township Hall on May 3rd, 2019. An attempt to send notice of this meeting to adjacent property owners was also made. I'm just going to read through a few things here, folks, and then we'll get into... Okay. The following were marked as Exhibits A through J. Exhibit A is the legal notice. Exhibit B is the affidavit of advertisement. Exhibit C, signed-in sheet. Exhibit D is the application and plans originally received March 11, 2019 and revised May 10, 2019. Exhibit E is the traffic study submitted to Delaware County July 24, 2017. Exhibit F, fire chief letter dated October 9, 2018. Exhibit G, trustee acknowledgement of the Zoning Commission's recommendation made on May 2, 2019. Exhibit H, staff technical review dated May 22, 2019 for the May 29, 2019 meeting. And Exhibit I, staff memo dated to May 22, 2019, also for the May 29, 2019 meeting. And Exhibit J, all public comments received between May 10, 2019 and May 29, 2019. So at this time, I will ask for a staff report. Joe Schaefer on behalf of the Zoning Genoa Township Development and Zoning Department. You make your staff report, please.
Joe, before getting started, Carl, yes, I have a question. Carl, for clarification, is the three-minute presentation period also applicable in the zoning meetings? I don't remember that it has been in the past.
I think in the trustee meetings it has been. I don't know about the Zoning Commission meetings.
Right. I know that in general meetings, but...
You know, it doesn't look like we're going to have a large crowd here wishing to make public comment, but we can be a little flexible with that, but we'd like to stay within as close to 3 minutes as possible. If you need to go over, we'd be more than happy to do that. And then what we've also done in the past is if everyone would make their comment, if after everyone has made comments, you have something else to add, we'd be more than willing to listen to that as well. Our objective is not to stifle anyone's comments. It's just to make sure everyone has ample time and try to make sure the meeting gets done in a relatively short period of time, but making sure we have an opportunity for everyone to make their comments. So, Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as you noted, the application before you is a final development plan application for Vinmar Village, sections 4 and 5. Construct 71 single-family homes on the parcels that were mentioned in the legal description. The property is already zoned planned residential district. That rezoning was approved by the board as a December 12, 2017. That was EC case number 2017-03. As you can see before you, the plan that's been submitted is substantially similar to the preliminary development plan that was approved with the rezoning back in 2017. Track size, with the exception of a very small correction. Number of proposed residential units, i.e. density, type of proposed units, street layout, and lot configuration are all generally consistent with the approved rezoning plans, with the exception of, again, some minor tweaks here and there to account for surveying. The applicant continues to treat the development independent of the existing Vilmar Village sections 1 through 3, is not using any portion of, for zoning purposes, I should note, and is not using any portion of the existing Vilmar Village development to comply with township zoning standards. So, even though I believe their plan is to have this, and they'll correct me if I'm wrong, lumped in with the Vilmar Village section 1 through 3 HOA, for the purposes of compliance, they still have treated this as a standalone development in regards to how they're calculating open space density. So they're not taking anything from sections 1 through 3 and using it as credit.
Right.
The number of sections in this plan has been changed. When they came through for the rezoning, originally it was going to be 3 sections, and then nothing was referred to as 4, 5, and 6. That's since changed, and now only be 2 sections, so hence now it's just been marked with sections 4 and 5. Sections 4 will be 41 units, sections 5 will be 30 units. The owner of the property is the applicant of record, which is a reserve at Vilmar LLC. You recall this property was formerly owned by Columbus Corporate Center, Inc. Since changed hands over after the rezoning. The site consists of mostly of old farm fields surrounded by stand of trees and contains one dilapidated agricultural building, or at least it did during the rezoning period. It may have either been removed or since fallen over. The environmental survey was done during the rezoning process. That survey was agreed to by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It identified 3 wetlands and 2 streams on the site. I'm not going to go in depth on that because we already discussed a lot of that during the rezoning process. Further flushes those items out in detail. Utility service letters were previously submitted with the approved rezoning plans, and probably the biggest thing to know in regards to utilities is that there is a 50-foot wide gas utility easement running across the entirety of the southern border of the site between sections 4 and 5 and the existing sections 1 through 3. So then in the memo here you have the table sort of breaking down acreage and density. The proposed density is 1.14 units per net developable acre. The minimum open space exceeds what's required. Minimum common open space exceeds what's required. We'll get into the divergences in regards to some of the perimeter setbacks momentarily. Same with the primary conservation area setback. There's 2 vehicle access points into the site, one via existing Olivero Drive here, and then one also connecting to, I believe that's Luca, there in Vinmar section either 2 or 3 here, and then obviously the county is requiring them to do some stubs. Should any of this property develop in the future, if ever, there'd be 2 road stubs to allow for continuous road network. That's generally seen by the county engineer and the planning office, the zoning office, which is a good practice for traffic and flow. Allows multiple ways out of these plans. The minimum lot widths are 95 feet at the front yard setback, and they're all 150 plus feet in depth. The setbacks would be 30 feet for the front, 12 feet, or 24 feet between dwellings for the sides, and 40 feet on the rears. That is in compliance or exceeds what is required under the code. There's no limited common element areas, so none of those standards would apply here. These are all fee simple lots. The applicant has acknowledged that the building heights and sizes will all be in compliance with zoning regulations. So I will touch on a few things that are different on this plan. I would not qualify any of them as seriously substantial, but they are worth it. So number one, the site boundary has been revised based on field located pins and measurements. The preliminary plan listed the tract as 74.958 acres. The revised acreage is 74.946. This slight reduction also resulted in slight reduction in acreage requirements for density, required open space, provided common open space. But again, since the change has been so minimal, it really has no impact on any of those calculations in terms of the big picture. We already talked about the new section numbers. Street names and lot numbers approved by the county map department have been added to the plan. Those were obviously didn't exist at the time of the rezone. Reducing the size of the stormwater basin from 3.27 acres to 3.10 acres, and the elimination of, there was a much smaller stormwater basin that was going to be adjacent to this large one. That one's since gone away. Part of the final engineering. There were some changes to the radius and papers for Olivero Drive for county engineering. Reorganization of open space and the shiftings of lot 8010 and 8009 eastward to better accommodate existing features and proposed utilities, and adjustment of utility locations in various locations on the site to again to accommodate county engineering. So what's different about this plan, which we a lot of times don't see, is this has actually gone through county engineering review. A lot of times we get final development plans, they haven't gotten to that stage yet. They talked to the county, they have some preliminary understandings, but my understanding is this has been completely flushed out by the county engineering department at this point. So what we see in front of us hopefully should not change to any kind of substantial degree going forward. I'm sure the applicant hopes it won't change either.
What jurisdiction does the county engineer have with regard to utilities?
Water lines, sewer lines, all of that, and all the easements that we go along with.
So is it at the engineer's office or is it Delaware County Water and Sewer?
The engineer's office reviews. I don't know how they work with Delco in regards to water line locations. I don't know how they that relationship between the two, but the county engineer is responsible for looking at utilities, at least college utilities, and making sure everything's where it needs to be and the drainage is going to function properly. I'm sure the applicant can speak better to that process. I really don't see that end of the process. It's outside of the in regards to access and traffic, access to the site remains consistent, again, using Olivero and Luca. The traffic study was done back in 2017. Since there's been no substantial revisions to the plan, we need to redo the traffic study, obviously. I do believe there's going to be a turn lane on Old 3C. Or no, I'm sorry, there's no new access for this, so there's
right.
The turn lane's already there, my mistake. I was thinking about a different development. In regards to streets and drives, proposed streets within the plan would be publicly owned, or the stub streets. There would be on-street parking on one side of the street, and I'm sure that'll be on the non-hydrant side, as is the county requirement. The development plan acknowledges concept driveway setback requirements, county standards and fire code will mandate street design and signage for on-street parking. Parking in the right-of-way itself will be enforced by the Genoa Township Police Department. And the developer has acknowledged that the streets will be designed again. I already mentioned the stormwater basin on the retention basin on the site. In regards to pedestrian connectivity, sidewalks will be provided along both sides of all streets within the plan. A 10-foot wide paved trail will be provided to connect the development with the Genoa Trail. And then this trail segment will also be used as access to the water tower location in the northwest corner of the site. That water tower location was discussed and that arrangement put in place during the rezoning process. So that's all been established. And then the applicant has opted under the new iteration of the PRD zoning code to provide a 15-foot wide multi-path easement across the site's south Old 3C highway frontage to allow for future construction of a path. Because there's really no path along South Old 3C in this vicinity. If they would have constructed one, it sort of would have been along their frontage and the path that basically nowhere at either end. So if you recall, we revised the PRD code to say, well, if you don't really have anywhere to take it along your frontage, another option is to provide us an easement on the recorded plat to give us the ability or our assignees or whoever we deem fit to do so, or possibly even the county since it's their road, to later go in and put those improvements in. If that it may happen, it may not, but at least we're trying to think ahead. And just from experience, trying to do that kind of improvement retroactively when the land isn't secure is one of the biggest hurdles when we try to put that in that way. So better to secure it now. Buffer and landscaping, there's the calculations of how many trees are disturbed and not disturbed, and it's relatively consistent. with the rezone plan, give or take maybe a handful or so. Street trees will be planted along both sides of all proposed streets. The species proposed do not exactly match those listed in the zoning resolution, which is the current new PRD version of the zoning resolution. However, the applicant claims they are from the same family of trees. I do think that proof, or at least expert testimony to that fact, should be provided on the record and get clarified this evening. Absent of that, we may have to look at some sort of diversions just to clarify the record. I'll let the applicant speak more of that matter, since I'm sure they've thought about that since they've emailed this material the same day that I emailed it out to the board, so they've had some, the applicants had time to digest this. The application is proposing to plant 10 shade trees in the westernmost common open space area adjacent to the Genoa Trail, which is on the plan known as Reserve F. The applicant proposes planting a mix of 20 trees and 3-foot mounting along the southern property line north of the existing gas easement. I'll get into that more in a minute. The deadline for when landscape improvements will be installed, I think, ought to be provided. Landscaping is one of those things that often is done sort of towards the end or forgotten about or not communicated. And there's just a variety of reasons it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in a timely manner. So if the board feels like there's certain landscaping items that are critical to this development, I would suggest that the applicants agree to it, some sort of a deadline. Because once they turn the plan over, it becomes much harder for us to go after them, and we'd have to go after the HOA. No new signs or entrance features are being proposed, as the development is a physical continuation of Venmar Village, the Venmar Village development, and thus we'll be using the existing development's access to the signage. The applicant has showed some 3 clustered mail kiosk locations. I go into detail where they are, but they're essentially their locations and even their existence is really at the subject of the United States Postal Service. They're the ones who make that determination of how mail is going to get delivered and ultimately where the boxes are going to be, where the kiosks are going to be, how they're going to be accessed, all of that. They have jurisdiction over that, so the applicant's shown locations, but they have included verbiage in their text acknowledging that they could change at the whims of the post office. And as you know, the post office isn't beholden to the township zoning process, so they'll make that decision when the post office wants to make that decision. Moving on, there's architectural standards for the plan spelled out in the plan text. I didn't see anything concerning the applicant's provided language, noting that the developer and then subsequently the homeowners association will control all of that, so the township will be enforcing architectural standards since they're not zoning requirements in the resolution. The development plan text notes they are approving the proposed open space by residents with amenities, landscaping, gardens, or other improvements permitted with the common open spaces that do not require permits will similarly be controlled by the HOA. We ran into this issue pop up, I think, with the Sorrento development, where there was like a no disturb area, and people were sort of disturbing it. The staff had no idea because the things that were disturbing it weren't things that required a zoning permit. So eventually, Sorrento basically amended their plan and acknowledged that that's their association's job to deal with benches and gardens and birdhouses and all that stuff that zoning would not ever be aware of unless someone called and complained about. So that will be controlled by the HOA as well. The plan does reserve the right to construct playground equipment, shelters, or restrooms in the common open space areas. The final locations have not been specified. Note speaking to this right and acknowledging that said improvements will comply with all applicable zoning provisions at the time of permitting, if required, should be provided on the plans and in the development text. The development text notes that the developer is committed to installing up to $50,000 worth of improvements in the open space area. Is keeping track of money spent by the applicant will be impractical and not directly correlated to the typical responsibilities and authority of the zoning department. It would be better if the text notes that an expenditure of said money is at the sole discretion of the developer and should not be considered a restriction. I think some of that language is a holdover from the original rezoning application, which there was preliminary discussion about possibly this land and if the township was interested in going being transferred over to the township and the developer doing some improvements. Part of that, I think during the rezone, it was sort of determined that the township really wasn't interested in going down that route. So that Reserve F will continue to be part of the HOA. Clarification on how we're going to handle that going forward, so I just know how to proceed with any enforcement, if any, would be appreciated should this plan be voted on for approval. Divergences. So there are 2 divergences of note. And this all stems from the fact that this application is in a very unique situation. Rezoning was approved under a zoning code That went into effect in 2013. The code has been amended twice since then. If you recall, the First Amendment had to do with signs, and then the Second Amendment was the substantial revision to the PRD standards that we adopted earlier this year. Candidly, there was some disagreement between myself and the applicant in regards to what code was going to apply, but I think at the end of the day, the applicant agreed that they would just go ahead and ask for divergences to the sections of the new code that they don't meet. I thought that was fair and a proper approach to this. So that's what they're essentially asking for, is just divergences for the sections of the new code that otherwise they would have to completely redesign, re-engineer, basically take them all way back to square one. So there and only one other application, which is the Ravine to Hoover, would have been the only one. Everyone else either already has their final approvals under the old version of the code or is in the rezoning process under the completely new version of the code. So I don't think we necessarily have to worry so much about precedence here on a large scale because, again, we're talking about a very unique situation that's not applicable to this application and possibly one other. So the divergence is being requested is through the entirety of section 90303, which is the section that talks about open space perimeter buffers and planting and setbacks of that nature. And then I think it was omitted in the request, but I am fairly certain this was the intent, was also to ask, along with that relief from 90304, which is a conservation setback from streams and wetlands. Under the new code, they would have had to account for that, setback the development from those items. Again, since this was under the old code, they wouldn't required to do that under the old code, they need that difference. So I think that was just an unintentional omission from the text in the latest submission. The second divergence is the applicant has requested relief from 2006.02 to allow deciduous trees to be planted with a minimum caliper of 2 inches instead of 2.5 inches. Justifications for all these requests are in the applicant's materials, but again, it really comes down to the fact that the code has changed substantially on them during this process. And the preliminary development plan was agreed to under the older version of the code.
But this particular code did not change?
No, the 2.5 inches is a new standard. That was not in the old code. The Zoning Commission recommended approval of the subject application on April 8, 2019. Staff's technical review is attached to this memorandum. In addition to the items mentioned in this memo, there are some changes to the development text plan notes that are needed for the purposes of accuracy or clarification. I think that is a lot of the stuff that was addressed in the handout that was passed out during the initiation of this meeting. The trustees are inclined to approve the plans tonight. Stipulation of the approval motion could be added, noting that the submission of corrected final development plan package, both text and drawings, would be required prior to issuance of zoning permits for the site, whether that be the subdivision permit or the permits for the first house. I think that's up for discussion. Them, but that's all we'd be looking for at this point. I wouldn't call a lot of those clarifications are critical matters, the stuff I just like to see cleaned up that I'm not seeing as a huge reason to continue in the labor at this point, so long as the applicant's agreeable to set revisions. Pages 6 and 7 compare the proposal to the comprehensive plan, but reference the outdated 2016 comp plan. This just means that reference just needs updated again. It's really not a zoning compliance issue, it's more just a technical accuracy issue. We already talked about the history of sort of how we got here in regards to the plan, so I'm not going to go through all of that history again. That's a lot line of the memo. Staff recommends that the trustees and applicant take into consideration the following items, even though they are not required by the resolution. Any items which the applicant agrees to should be included in the plan text and or approval motion. Number one, I have significant concerns about the landscaping that's proposed on the lots that will be owned by private individuals in the plan along the perimeters. Honestly, those plannings have just not worked out well from an enforcement standpoint. They're significantly problematic. Our office, and what we have found is oftentimes in these scenarios, we end up back in front of the commission with the plan amendment that they come out, and we get a complaint from the neighbor that something got removed and the tree got cut down. Again, you don't get a zoning permit for a tree, so if a tree got removed out here and no one said anything, which is like a tree falling in the woods and no one around to hear it. I'm not going to know for years unless someone says something. And then at that point, once the tree's been removed and, you know, for 5 years down the road, what, they could plant a new tree, but it's certainly not going to be the same size as these. They're going to get a new tree. So, you know, we ran into a situation with MR Village in Section 1 where there were some trees on a private lot, and then someone bought that lot. I don't think the requirement was communicated to them. And then they said, well, the developer didn't plant the trees, and I don't want to plant the trees because my significant other is allergic to a whole bunch of different trees, and I don't want the liability, and I don't want to risk their health. So that was an ugly situation that we had to deal with. And then in that situation, also, the county hadn't reviewed the plans yet. The county came in and said, oh, and by the way, we're going to put an easement back there, so you can't put those trees back there anyway. So And with these trees, if they weren't in a common open space area, I'm only dealing with one entity if there's any kind of violation concern, because I'm just dealing with either the developer or the HOA if the plan is turned over. In this instance, you know, I've got a handful of lots, especially if they all start taking them out, that I've got to start dealing with, and then the neighbors all have to get together later and file a plan amendment with the HOA's approval, and it's cumbersome, they just don't work, it's an enforcement problem for us. So handling staff's opinion. Because they're already asking divergence to all the buffering standards, I'd honestly be fine if those trees just went away. I mean, if they want to relocate them somewhere else in an open space, fine, but also if they just got deleted from the plans, I don't have a problem with it, and I don't think there's going to be a code conflict with it. So that's purely up to the trustees to make that decision on how they feel about that. But
Joe,
I feel passionate about that.
Yeah. Question on that. When you talk about landscaping, we are talking about trees, shrubs, things like that. We're not talking about other types of, benches or cupolas.
Correct.
Or,
yeah,
you know.
On this plan, we're just talking about trees specifically.
Sheds or anything
that
like that. Yeah.
We don't get into the regulating the landscaping that all these homes are going to have in front of the house and all their shrubs and flower beds and all that stuff.
Right.
None of that is applicable. I'm just talking about what I would call the site landscaping that's being done as part of the initial development, and none of the landscaping that the individual homeowner will do.
Thank you. Clarify.
And then the second point was a few off-street parking spaces, a small loop road, or some other sort of street ball bog or I-rod design near the mail kiosk may help to separate the mail traffic from the regular street traffic. And the applicant will correct me if I'm wrong. I think they may have agreed to that in principle during the zoning commission meeting, but I don't think it was fully documented in the plan text and the plans. Again, the location of the mail kiosks are sort of up in the air and subject to the Postal Service, so it seemed to make sense that thereby the location of these parking areas, if the applicant is agreeing to do them, would similarly be up in the air until those locations would be finalized. And who knows, the post office could do a 180 and decide that they're going to go back to single post delivery at every home. Who knows? I for sure don't. They operate under their own rules and sometimes change their mind. So that really concludes the memorandum. So in the tech review, I'm not going to go through every item. The two items that I think need final resolution tonight, at least during the discussion period, one was the street tree species, which is comment 9. The other is the item in regards to the parking and fallout areas and the mail kiosk. If the applicants agreeable to that, that just needs to be on the record. That was comment 25. And then the rest of the comments that are just sort of the cleanup comments, which are under development review number 7, 13, 16, 22, 23, 24, 26, 27, divergence review comment number 4, are all just those really admittedly ticky-tacky kind of things that I just like to be picky about in the text that I don't think would warrant continuance of the application if we found everything else to be agreeable, that it could just be a condition that they will address that. Final set of plans, which I believe that's what we did during the rezoning plans. It got approved. There were still some outstanding items they needed to clean up, and they knew they had to submit that before they submitted their final, which they did. So this is not an atypical approach that we have to do to go back. So I do ask if the board would be inclined to make a vote on approval tonight that you include any conditions or agreed upon terms in the motion, including that the final set of plans be provided by the issue of the zoning permits, whether that be the flat permits, which probably doesn't make sense. It probably makes more sense to hold that off until the use sort of the submission of the first or issuance of the first zoning permit for the first house is probably the better care, and then gives them a little bit more leeway time. Because I imagine if this gets approved, their next step is going to be the county regional planning to get the plat approved so they can start moving those lots, which is probably, I imagine, going to move relatively quickly. So, but I'll let the applicant decide. China will choose what they think is fair. So, with that, I will conclude my report unless there's any more specific questions for me at this time.
Any specific questions for Joe?
Not right now.
Okay. Just a point of clarification, you indicated that the HOA, and maybe the applicant can address this also, that the HOA, the current HOA ultimately will be over 4 and 5. Is that?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
They'll correct me if I'm wrong, but that was my understanding of how I read the materials. I mean, in regards to zoning, that's not something really the township gets involved with.
Right.
How the HOA is set up, what the covenants are, what the bylaws are, who owns what, and the turnover of the plan. That's really between the developer and the plan. And
I guess.
I did get a comment prior to this hearing a week or so ago from at least one member of the public of Vinmar Village Section 133 who had some concerns about that arrangement. Again, I don't see that as something really the township can dictate. I understand those concerns, specifically in regards to if this plan takes a long time to build out, sections 1 through 3 are done, ready to be turned over, how does that affect their timelines? And I think that's something they need to work out with the developer, because I'm under the impression that the developer still is the owner of sections 1 through 3. I don't think it's been turned over yet, so I think they have the right to expand the plan if they...
Well, and I guess that was maybe the root of my question was, you know, normally there's a certain percent or number of houses that are sold, and then at that time the HOA kicks in, or you know, it's off the
development. I imagine this should probably look to.
Yeah, so we'll comment on that. Okay, very good. We can wait then. Okay, having no questions, we will then move to the applicant's comments. Mr. Fisher. I assume.
Ready for us?
Yes. Great. Right ahead.
Great. David Fisher, Kephart Fisher, 207 North 4th Street, Columbus, Ohio, counsel to the applicant. We've also got Vince Romanelli from Romanelli Hughes, the applicant here, Jim Olin from Romanelli Hughes, part of the applicant team, Dave Denniston from Advanced Civil Design, our engineering firm, and Phil Moorhead from G2 Planning, who's our land planner. All of this group is a part of the planning team for this project. Can you hear me okay? Good, thanks. As always, Joe's done a comprehensive and an excellent job of going through this. I'll hit a couple of points that I want to clarify from Joe's comments and questions from the trustees. It's been a while, but I seem to recall when we went through the zoning process, and I can't remember who asked this, but someone at the township level wanted us to expand the current HOA to include this project. We can do it either way, but the current attachment is the current Vinmar 123 HOA. It seems like some people are here from the current Vinmar Village right now, and they'll want to talk about this a little later. We can do it either way. What we discussed earlier, as I recall, at the Planning Commission level is when it comes to HOAs and when it comes to expenses, the matrix is, I understand there's some additional open space added as a consequence of this project, but the general concept is the more lots you have sharing in the common expenses, the more cost effective it is for everybody. But if there's objection from the people in Vinmar Village to this being added to theirs, we don't care. 6 of 1, half a dozen the other for us, and we can just do an HOA for this project. So we can do it either way. It doesn't matter.
Who are the current owners of Vinmar 1, 2, and 3?
Well, Romanelli News, the developer still has control. It's not been turned over control yet, and then there's homeowners in there. The developer has the right to expand that homeowners association to include additional lands. But quite frankly, we don't want to get into a dispute with either you or the residents of the current development. If we've got to create a separate HOA for this, it really doesn't matter to us. We can do it either way. Anybody, Vince, Jim, you disagree with me on that? It doesn't matter to us. We do it either way. Okay. I know there was someone from the Vinmar 1, 2, and 3 HOA at one of the earlier meetings was concerned about their current cost structure. Once again, we are adding some open space here, but we're also adding 71 lots that help share in the overall cost. Okay. I don't think anybody's done the math on that, but we can do it either way.
We'll have some public comment later, and maybe we can come back and circle around that.
Let's see what the residents have to say about that.
But okay.
Once again,
we'll move on.
We don't care. Yep. It doesn't matter to us one way or the other.
All right.
On the landscape commitments, and I shared this. I know Joe was on paternity leave earlier when we were at the Zoning Commission on this. It's sort of interesting. This is a sort of a circular discussion. When we used to put the landscape improvements or restrict landscape improvements in common areas with the HOA, we had people from the administration of the township saying, this isn't working because people are going in there. And Connie, you were around, I think, at that time. This doesn't work because people going in the common open space and chopping down trees and putting playground equipment in there, and we don't have any way of enforcing it. It's too late to do it. It's like we can't win no matter where these landscape improvements are. But we're happy to accommodate whatever. We do think that these landscape improvements that are proposed, which are primarily along the southern boundary in that gas line easement area, we do think they're important. We're happy to commit that those will be installed at the time of the building of a home on those lots. We're happy to do that. We don't necessarily want to take them off because we think they're important, and we think we've made commitments to the neighbors to the south that they're going to be there. So we'd like to leave them in place. But once again, we found it's a catch-22 no matter where they're located, unless Joe or somebody from enforcement wants to go out and, you know, survey every subdivision every week. Stuff's going to happen. It's just the fact of the matter. But at the same time, I think we all know as subdivisions are completed and mature and grow out, there's always additional trees added over time as people do landscaping on their lots, none of which is a part of this calculation. So we're happy to do whatever, but once again, we don't think there's an enforcement mechanism that works necessarily better or worse, no matter where the property's located.
May I offer something?
Sure.
Possibly a compromise, but we just treat it as the architectural standards where, it's in the materials because it's just, we're showing you what we're going to do, but maybe it becomes an item that solely is the HOA and not become a zoning standard. Is that something you think, Mr. Fisher?
It doesn't matter to us. I mean, we're showing them on the plans. If you're telling us you want to take them off the plans and we do it out through, my concern is we do have some residents to the south. This was important to them from a buffering standpoint. We tried to accommodate them.
But right now, so what you're talking about, Dave, is in addition to the 50-foot buffer between the existing homes and the new ones, you would be putting mounding
and there's some
plantings in through there. But those would also be part of this issue of you can't cut them down if they're giving you hay fever. Sorry
we
for
can
your
add
luck.
To the HOA. We can add some of the HOA to deal with that concept that the HOA has enforcement to make sure that you don't cut down. If you cut down, you replace. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think the other issue here is that this is a somewhat unique situation because they cannot be put on the common area because of the gas line.
That's incident. Right.
Otherwise, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
That's right.
Okay, so we will agree to do the plantings, but it'll be up to the HOA to...
Right. We'll do the plantings at the time of the home development on the lot, and we'll give the HOA enforcement powers.
Because I think what's happened in the prior scenarios, and Mr. Frizz was right, there have been scenarios where we've gone the other direction, and it's also been problematic. I think the difference there was those zones were always classified either as non-disturbed or non-build zones. Here we're just talking about an open space area. So I don't have so much concern because staff's not going to allow issue a zoning permit for anything that requires a permit in that open space area. So again, if someone encroaches into it, it's either going to be by something that needed a zoning permit and didn't get one, in which case they're going to have to remove it. Or it's something that doesn't require a zoning permit, which as I spoke to is going to become the HOA's responsibility for determining how much encroachment they want in the open space. So I do appreciate the fact we're getting away from that no build, no disturb zone in this area because I think it would similarly have posed problems.
Go ahead, Connie.
I was just going to say the no disturb zone has been a bane of everyone's existence because people get in, they see what looks like weeds and overgrowth when it's literally a no disturb zone. once it's cleaned out, you can't put it back. So yeah, it's been
That's
a problem.
That's right. Remember back, we used to do bollards and all kind of stuff to define them, and people still invaded them.
Yep.
Right. So does this also take into, is this the same issue for the, I think it's the wrong map, but for the northern boundary up here? Do we have that same situation there? Because from what I...
And we do the same thing up there.
Yeah.
The landscape install would occur at the time the home is built, and we give the HOA enforcement powers.
I mean, from what I understand, the closest house to that line, north boundary, is about 400 feet,
right,
or thereabouts. So who is... I mean, what are we buffering? So, I mean, I guess I wouldn't...
Take them off, we'll take them off.
On the north?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing up here.
There's no residential properties up on the north.
Right.
And
there's
no... On the north, we'll take
well, there's no diagrams on your diagram.
Bill, you got a thought on that? This is Phil Moorhead, G2.
Okay, hold on a second.
Phil Moorhead, G2 Planning and Design, 720 East Broad Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43215.
Okay.
We aren't actually proposing any new buffer plantings on the north. What you're seeing are existing trees to remain.
Okay.
Right.
So there is no, so you're not going to be planting on the north like you're proposing on the south.
The HOA to enforce that those aren't cut or destroyed without replacement. Don't care? Let's just take them off the north end, Phil. Just take them off the plan. If they're there, they're there, but take them off the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't want to mislead anyone thinking that trees are going to be saved or they're not.
But the trees indicated on the diagram are 14 trees, new trees.
There is
none on the north, on the south.
Right.
But
and
the
we'll
text
leave those in.
But the text says 20. The diagram shows 14. So it needs to be reconciled. And I believe that they are referred to as shade trees.
I think there's a couple of smaller evergreens.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Instead of, I think that the purpose of these is to be a visual block. So I think that a evergreen tree would be a more appropriate tree to put in there.
No,
I'm not looking at the landscape. But it's not evergreen. It's a shade tree.
It is a combination. There are a total of 20 trees, shade and evergreen trees.
I only count 14 on this diagram. This diagram that was just given to us today, minutes ago. There's only 14 dots.
So you would actually have to give them a license. So starting here, we've got at least four shade trees. We've got three evergreen trees that are showing up in the outer
I can only comment to what I see. So if the evergreens aren't showing.
They are.
Nevertheless, my point is, I think that an evergreen would be a better visual block than a deciduous tree.
Anybody care? We can do all the evergreens.
Whatever.
Okay. Anything else, Phil, you want to address at this point? Don't leave.
If I could talk about the street trees, I think that's relatively simple. If you look at the approved street tree list in the ordinance, it refers to the common name of the tree, which is little leaf linden. On our landscape plans, we use the scientific name, which is Tilia cordata. They both refer to the same tree. So we are in compliance.
Okay.
So that's the first piece of that. The second piece, the tulip tree, the pin oak, and the red oak, those aren't being proposed as street trees. They're going to be in the open space on the west and in this buffer we were discussing, which may not be evergreen, but
I think we've given some further clarification on what we delivered.
Yeah, and they're all native trees. I mean, the three that you mentioned. So,
yes.
Yeah.
The mail key, this whole mail kiosk location parking, it all is dependent on, at the end of the day, what the postmistress out of Cincinnati ultimately approves. So why don't we just add some language that these are the proposed locations, subject to her approval, and we'll have appropriate 3 to 4 space parking around each one, subject to Joe's sign off on that.
Will you also have some sort of lighting by these?
Lighting?
By each mail kiosk, should they be required so that people can see the mailbox, feel a little safer?
That's fine.
Yeah, I think that was one of my comments, that I'm not sure what the correct number of parking spaces is per kiosk. I have no clue, but I do think that it's at least 2.
Yeah, I said 4.
So, yeah, I don't know what the right number
is. I think
is.
A part, Frank, depends on, you know, how big a box is at each kiosk.
Right.
But you know, we're happy to work with Joe on that. He can, you know.
But it needs to be off of the so-called main curb.
Yeah, I think he suggested either a bulb or a parking area, and I think the ones over by that open space, so that one's the easy one to fix. So
yeah, probably something that's least disruptive to the site layout, but still accommodates that goal of separating the traffic and providing enough room.
Right.
Okay, so those are kind of the high points. And going through Joe's, what I'd like to do is just hit a couple things on Joe's memo and tech review, mm-hmm. In terms of areas where we have some discussion. The multi-use path, we'll add some language to make sure it's clear there. We've talked about the street trees. We talked about the deadline for landscaping, which would be at the time of home construction. We talked about the mail kiosk. On this issue on playground equipment, this is on page 4, note N. This is on the playground equipment, shelters, restrooms, and the common open space. We'll add a note with respect to that comment.
What will the note be?
At the time of, with respect to playground equipment, shelters, or restrooms, and common open space, you're going to install on that at the time of site development, right, Vince?
Yeah.
We're
doing the first policy.
What's that?
Doing the first policy.
Right. So, okay, so at the time of the first home construction, we'll add them.
So to clarify, so you are definitely going to be adding playground equipment, restrooms to that open space.
Where was restroom stated?
So that's if those things are installed, because Joe's already pointed out the fact that they're all in the discretion of the developer.
Right.
Okay. We don't have anything planned as
a well, okay, so if okay. You don't have anything planned, then why is it in here?
Because it notes it in their text, but it's not shown on the site drawing.
Well, why is it in the text? If they don't have any plans to do it, I guess I'm really confused.
What it would allow them to do, if the board was comfortable, would be similar to the parking spaces, authorize them the ability to do it, subject to possibly, you know, staff review it for zoning compliance, in regards to height and without having to come back, file a final plan amendment, and go through this process.
In other words, we don't have to file a plan amendment if we want to put them in place.
Well, wait a minute. The parking spaces with the kiosks, that's not optional. That's required. We didn't say that that's optional.
Right.
We just, the location is optional.
Yeah, kiosk, no, we're
but
not
you're going to have
kiosk and parking now.
We're going to have parking spaces.
That's right.
Definitive. 2,
absolutely.
Maybe up to 4. So that's not optional. If the plan is not to have this stuff, then it shouldn't be in here. There should not be on a maybe. It's either is or it isn't.
Here's the problem. Then we got this $50,000 commitment to provide these things.
Why?
Now, well, because that's what we've done in the past, and the township's like that. Now Joe is saying he doesn't want that in the text. So we're happy to take all this out, but the problem is if we take it out, we don't want to have to come back to a whole development plan review process to add some playground equipment.
But I guess, David, if I remember right, initially the discussion was that open space would be turned over to the township. I think we resolved that was not going to be
right.
The case.
Right.
And so, I mean, personally, if you want to commit $50,000, $100,000, $3,000 nothing. I mean, that's really between you and the HOA. I don't think that comes back to the township.
I guess the only question is, do we have to come back and get an amendment to our development plan if we want to add it?
I don't think you do.
If they don't show something on this plan and they came back later and said they wanted to install something, I probably would at least send them back to the zoning commission. It may not make it back to the board if it was declared a minor amendment, but usually a substantive change like that on the plans.
I don't consider playground equipment to be substantive.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
And it's even, I'll use the word portable. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing permanent about a playground equipment. Even if it's sunk in the ground, it's not permanent. It's portable.
But there are certain restrictions right currently. If someone wants to build a certain size jungle gym in their backyard.
Not so much on the jungle gym. My great concern actually here was like pavilions, the bathrooms, anything that requires zoning. The playground equipment is honestly the least of my concerns.
Let's take one at a time.
Okay.
I can't understand why you would want to build restrooms, but maybe you do. Do you have any intention now or in the next 25 years of building restrooms?
We decide.
We don't want to do it. By the way, you never want to build restrooms because you got to winterize them and all that kind of stuff.
I understand. I agree, and it costs money, and it costs maintenance. I don't see it. This is a private area, correct? It's not a public area. It's for the HOA, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not hearing restrooms are going to be done. What's the next item?
So wait a minute. The restrooms were a carryover from the park.
Right.
And, you know, I have this on my list. By the time we get done here, my list is going to have nothing on it. But basically, they were a carryover from that park. I can't imagine any HOA wanting to take the responsibility for maintenance of a restroom, winterizing, cleaning periodically in the summer, hiring somebody to do it, or God forbid the HOA president has to be cleaning restrooms daily. So my suggestion there is that we just strike restrooms. When it comes to the playground equipment, why don't we just say they may provide playground equipment? That gives you the option of doing it or not, and you don't have to come back to Joe. I agree with him that what the concern would be is a structure such as a gazebo. That is actually in the ground, and it's much more permanent. So that's my thought.
That's fine. And we'll take out the obligation of the $50,002, but that is our intention.
I mean,
this is more about sales and marketing than it is development tech, frankly.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so bathrooms are out. I think playground equipment we're keeping. We're going to be laying out shelters.
Well, gazebo, shelter, it depends what you're going to term it.
And that's the kind of stuff where we would really need to send them back to the amendment process.
Absolutely.
Trustee D'Antonio's point on something that, even though it's technically a structure, it isn't on this plan, it really seems like, what are we really all doing here talking about the gazebo?
Right.
So doing the May language subject to staff, you know, determination that it's compliant, as long as it's not a violation of anything.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it would be
acceptable. That's good. Joe, we will add on our divergences 903.04. It was just an oversight. I just note that Joe, I don't think I'm wrong about this, just for your information, we did get unanimous approval from the Zoning Commission on this recommendation. I mean, everyone's pulling support. We keep going around. I'm on page 5, Joe, note 4C. I either have to take the whole discussion of the comprehensive plan out or leave it with the 2016 plan. And here's the reason why. Comprehensive plan is a planning document. Planning document for purposes of zoning. We zone under the 2016 comprehensive plan under the old zoning code. I can't have a comprehensive plan reference to the zoning code that's now in effect because I zoned under the existing comprehensive. So I either need to leave the language in as it is, which I don't think it much matters, or I got to take it all out. So you just, whichever way you want to do that, I'm happy. But I can't refer to the comprehensive plan as a planning document that didn't apply to the zoning. It's a circular argument.
You're referring to the rezoning.
Really
the rezoning?
The rezoning, right. Okay. In other words, what the revised code says is, you have a comprehensive plan that we need to consider and regional planning needs to consider for the time of rezoning, which is what we did.
Right.
So the fact that you've changed your comprehensive plan is of no consequence.
I agree with you.
Okay.
So we take it out.
So what happened to you either way?
No, it should be it should be referenced to the date of the comprehensive plan at the time of the rezoning, okay. which is
2013.
And then Joe did a good summary of where we've been back and forth on this issue of your code changed after the rezoning, and to address that, we've added these divergences to take care of that.
Okay.
We've talked about the landscaping and open space. I think we've reached a compromise on that. We've talked about the mail kiosk. I think we've dealt with that. Then moving on to to the township's technical review. Joe, it's our view on this whole issue of the setback from old 3C. It doesn't really matter. It's on the plan. We're not going to build any houses there. So we're happy to do it. Let's just leave it alone. It's just one more thing that we'd have to change.
I'm fine with that. I was just pointing out to you
okay. Let's see. We talked about 903.04. That's fine. I think Phil's given you some new plans today to address a couple of these things. We've talked about tree species. Talked about comp plan. No further action on a lot of these things. The multi-use path will add a note to our plan with respect to that. We'll clean up these just 23 item, a couple of references that are bad. Other than that, we're in agreement with everything. And we'd appreciate the accommodation if you see fit to approve of this tonight, that we'll just work with Joe before any permits can be issued to clean up these final items.
Okay. All right.
That's the end of our comments. And
anyone
once again,
else?
I know some people want to talk. I want to make it clear, we don't care about the HOA. If you want us to have a separate HOA, that's fine. I mean, I guess somebody could do some big mathematical equation to determine whether everybody's better off sharing more costs over more lots or whatever, but it simply doesn't matter to us.
Okay. All right. Well, that takes us then right into public comment. So I ask if you would come forward to the microphone. Please give your name and address and your comments. So the floor is open. No comment? Everyone's bashful.
What was that TV show where you weren't quite sure?
Joe Picari. We live on Mariposa, 7867 Mariposa Drive.
Okay.
And our property, rear of our property borders that 50-foot green space that we'll be going in.
So you would be down in this area right here.
Right.
And
we have a couple of concerns. First of all, I'd like to make sure that we give priority to developing that, because right now that is really an unsightly area. We have a lot of weed growth, and I'm assuming that it's going to go from our property where it ends to the other border of the property, to the north. And so we have that issue. It's an unsightly area, and also there's a drainage problem. And I've talked to Vince regarding the drainage problem. We've had all kinds of that runoff from the farm that's behind us going into our backyard, and it's damaged our trees. We've had problems with our grass. It's been a real problem for us, and there's still water coming in. Even though we've had French drains added to that, we still have a problem. So we'd definitely like to get priority done to that for that area.
Is his property in phase one?
We're in phase one.
It is phase one?
Right.
So the site development is going to accomplish a lot of your problems day one in terms of dealing with, because now you're going to have some on-site stormwater management that's not currently there. There's probably going to find some broken field tile in there that's going to be corrected. And in terms of the unsightliness, in terms of the weeds and overgrowth, all that's going to be taken care of with site development activities in phase one.
So that'll be taken care of right away.
And if, I think you know Vince well enough. Sounds like you already talked to him. I mean, you know, if you have an issue, you call him. He or Jim will come out and take care of it for you.
Okay, good. And regarding the HOA, when we moved into one, we were told that once 1, 2, and 3 were completed, the residents would have the opportunity to take over the HOA. That it was never mentioned about this possibility combining with 4 and 5. So I guess we would like to see that happen.
Once again, we don't care.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I mean, we're not trying to make enemies over who's in the HOA. So.
Right. Because our concern is the expenses for that area to the north would be more than our particular area.
Yeah.
So, and we would be sharing
their expenses. By the way, I want you to understand that was not our purpose. I can't remember who, it was somebody on the Zoning Commission, I think, early on that wanted us to expand it. But we don't care. Doesn't matter at all.
All right. Anything else? All right. Thank you. Next.
Charles Loesch, 7901 Mariposa Drive. I back up to the southern border of the new development. Mr. Romanelli came to our home back when we had some initial concerns. It was probably maybe the fall of 2017, you might remember. Thank you for coming. A new issue that I have is in February, there was a crew that put in, at the end of February, put in a, I guess it's an erosion barrier, some sort of fabric on sticks. And they were, as they're going through, when their little plow caught on a tree root, they went out and they chopped up the tree. They chopped the roots out. And those are on the preserved trees that are in the, they're not on our property, but they're right off of it. So, and I went out, I sent you some pictures. I don't know if you got them or not. I sent some to Mr. D'Antonio, too, of them chopping at them and then their aftermath. One tree has slowly leafed out. But I was kind of concerned once we get into the heat of the summer, and the trees were doing fine. But when we get into the heat of the summer, and if we get into a dry period, will that stress kill off those trees? And I don't know who's responsible for cutting them down. I certainly wouldn't want to pay for it, since they're not even on my property. But the crew damaged the so-called preserved trees. So hopefully something can be done with that if the trees are die or if there's an arborist that anyone happens to know that can look at the trees and maybe some selective pruning to the trees, there are some dead branches in there anyway. But I was concerned about that. Second, we heard that sometimes developers come in and they strip the topsoil off the ground and then they sell it. And I don't know whether they would do that over that gas easement. But mm-hmm. if they do that, they'll, you know, you strip off the soil and you're damaging tree roots again, which would further damage them. When talking about the trees along the southern border, the little buffer area, there was talk of a hill, a little mound of some sort. Is the mound still in the plan?
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's 3 feet.
Yeah, okay.
Dave, are we doing any site development activities down in that evening?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, if anyone who makes a comment, we just need them on a microphone.
If you could.
Go ahead. Start over again.
David Dunstan with Advanced Civil Design, 422 Beecher Road, Gahanna.
Mm-hmm.
The only area that we're going to be in that gas easement that we'll be working is down by the detention basin to get a storm outlet here. All of our work with storm sewers and mounds and everything can find on the back of these lots down in the basin.
Okay. So the mound is still in the plant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it 3 feet? The mound?
That's what I recall.
Yeah.
And I know, I've seen a lot of neighborhoods where there are mounds and there's trees and some of them are nice mature evergreens on them. And that, you mentioned people go cut them down. I don't know who in the world would do that. But but if there's anything in the budget to put in some more evergreens in there instead of necessarily leafy trees, because that would be like a year-round type of buffer for us. And hopefully, I was hoping, again, I know Joe mentioned the runoff in our lots, and with this rain today, we have a huge river running in between our lot, where there probably should have been a drain. But I'm hoping between the mound and putting in streets and that, we stop all that from coming in. And the HOA, I know maybe somebody else will address it, but does anybody know that we were told when we built that it was $350 a year, and then the next bill we got was $425. And then this year it's $625. And so that got us all worried that, oh my gosh, now we're going to have more grass because it's mainly for cutting grass. And that, you know, so I don't know if adding the 71 more homes will lower that or at least keep it under control.
Sounds like you'd like us not to expand the HOA, which is fine. We'll just do a new HOA for this.
Well, if it's cheaper.
Do you want to run the math?
Cheaper. I would go for less money, especially when we were told, oh, it's only $350. And
you want to do the math on that? Why don't we do the math on that and we'll show you what it is.
Okay.
that okay?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, well, the HOA, pools. I don't know who controls it. We have no say in it, but, like, there's this little anemic fountain in the front that doesn't look good at all off of Olivero, and it doesn't
look good. We can do a budget for you based on what you're paying currently, which you know about, and adding this, what the estimate would be, divided by the additional lots involved, and see if it's a better deal for you and everybody or not a better deal.
Okay. And then if they do close it off just to phase 1, 2, and 3, does somebody come in and fix the sidewalks that are damaged from the construction vehicles? And
No construction vehicles can access other than Olivero Drive. You can't.
No, not the street, but the sidewalks. So the sidewalks are broken up, especially in the last two phases, phases 2 and 3.
Those were.
Yeah, I can answer that, Jim.
7077 Santa Mark Place with Romanelli Hughes. One of the things that we do as developers and working with Ryan Holmes is the sole builder in Binmar. And one of the things that we do is that when we complete the site, we do a lot of inspection report, and we go through and we mark anything, any deficiencies that were done, which become the, quote, the developer's responsibility. And then anything else that's done is Ryan Holmes' responsibility to take care of those items. We have been in contact. I think it was Poly Steel that brought it up at one of our meetings. We have been in contact with Ryan Holmes. There are sidewalks. We agree with you. There's sidewalks. There's green space that needs touched up during their site. Construction, they've gone and crept into the green space, which is natural when you're grading out your yard and laying your sod, but those areas need taken care of, and so we've been working with Ryan Holmes to get those things taken care of. If they don't take care of us, we as developers will, and we will build them, so okay. They'll get taken care of.
They're contractually obligated with
and I know there's not a, I don't, in our phase one, I don't think there's any broken sidewalks, but there is a tripping hazard at the corner of Grace and Mariposa on the southeast corner.
And
one has gone up higher than the other.
And I want to add one other thing, which is important, is that those are not obligations of the Homeowners Association to pay. So it's not a bill the Homeowners Association is paying to take care of the items at Ryan Holmes. Ultimately, the developer is going to take care of. So those are outside. Okay. They'll fix them, take care of them, turn it over to you.
And so along with going back to some of the people that are on the south side of Mariposa said that this is probably Ryan Holmes talking, said that the common area between Grace and Mariposa was supposed to be nicely landscaped, some contour. They said it would look like a golf course. And, of course, it's just plain flat land that barely grows any grass again, we have to cut. But it's not very appealing looking. So we'll hopefully, if we get a hill back there, there actually will be a hill and some trees on it. So not that it has to look like a golf course. Also, the area south of the space south of Mariposa, that common space, there's no access from it. If I wanted to walk, or any of us on the north side of the street wanted to go to that space, we'd have to walk through one of our neighbor's yards. So I don't know if there was supposed to be some way to get to it.
But I'd have to see. I'd have to look at the plans. But
okay. Okay. Hey, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Let's get on a mic, please.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out something here on the map.
Okay.
Right now, there is a larger area up in the here that drains toward the back of your lots. With the street collection system here, there's some storm sewers in these rear yards. They funnel this water down to this basin. Will be, and when this gets constructed, the only thing that you should have coming towards your lots then are the back of a little bit of these lots right here, and then from the top of the mound across that 50-foot strip should be all that's left, actually draining towards your lots when this development is in.
And how long will that all take before we see some improvement in our backyards?
Okay, the question. The question was, yeah. When will they start seeing some improvement?
And that's as soon as these guys can get into construction and get started. Probably toward the end of this year, by the time they get everything get all the underground in, and get all the restoration done.
You don't want to ask Mr. Romanelli how soon he'd like to start construction.
Right. Yesterday.
Trust me on that one.
Yeah. So really,
this is all phase one. So finish this process. The drawings are all done. The contractor's ready to go. So this is going to be.
So everything as far as the drainage issue should be addressed by next spring this time,
yes.
early summer, next spring. So in the event that we have all this rain, I mean, which really hasn't helped the situation anywhere. So, okay. All right. Next. Anyone else? Yes, come on up. Name and address.
Jeff Kessler, 7887 Mariposa Drive, about the fourth house in from Olivero on the north side of Mariposa. Mm-hmm. I just had a couple of follow-up questions. One about the 50-foot gas easement, the buffer between the two subdivisions. You know, it's an old field. There's topsoil in there right now. Is that topsoil going to get stripped out as part of your site?
Not in that area.
Well, so that'll be just left as is.
Yeah.
Grass planted there, or would consideration
to have a mound at the north end of it, right?
Would consideration be given to wildflowers or something more natural that is less maintenance, maybe? Just a thought, you know, the grass areas in our subdivision, you know, it's pretty thin. It's, it's needs to be mowed every couple of weeks, especially with all this rain. I mean, it's just a cost incurrence.
Phil, what's our planning for landscaping on that gas easement area? You can't do much.
Yeah, right. You can't plant
a lot. I personally
would
say maybe a no-mow mix of some kind, that'd
be great. Future HOA, whoever's
making. I was going to say, keep in mind, just like you don't want your HOA costs to go up, we don't want to set the bar for a new HOA where they have a bunch of excess costs.
For sure.
So it sounds like a no-mow mix would be the best thing in there.
Okay. And then just a follow-up question about the what you talked about the sidewalks, curbs, and the current subdivision. When does developer Ryan Holmes' responsibility run out on that? I mean, when does it become the homeowner's responsibility to fix curbs that are broken or potholed or whatever?
One of the things that usually happens is each phase is we'll go through there and we'll make our marks, because we know as developers we're going to be held responsible for those items. And so those things will be completed. I know Ryan Holmes has a couple houses they're finishing up. So now that they're getting out, the trucks are out of there. Even if you look around some of the corners and some of the green space inside, I can fix it tomorrow, and they're going to run right back over it again. And so we wait till they're out, everything's complete, before we come in, we inspect, and we require them to make all their adjustments and make all their fixes. Obviously, they don't, we will.
Yeah.
But those are all required before it's turned over back over to the Homeowners Association. So I'd say...
Right, so there is a final punch out.
There is a final punch out, okay. Absolutely. And that should happen, I'm going to say, by the end of this year for sure. I don't think there's any more construction activity. I think they're building their last house.
And the only reason I ask, just, you know, personally, there was a spot in front of my mailbox that obviously I didn't build. I bought a resale, and it was clear that there was a section of curb that had broken at some point and had been replaced. Well, it's already deteriorating again. So, is there a way to get that on the punch list, or am I kind of out of luck on that, or how does that?
We'll do a full walkthrough for the community itself.
Perfect. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Mariposa Drive. I want to thank my neighbors for bringing up the HOA and for your concurrence on if we wanted to go separate from the other phase, then we can do so. We'll look forward to the study on costs. So that's been set aside here, but I do have a question on the speed limit going into off of Old 3C on Olivera. Currently it's at 35 miles an hour. And I don't know how much longer the 35 miles an hour zone would be going into the new phases, especially with the kiosk potentially going to be there and a potential hazard there. I'd like to see it go down to 25, because people go 35, they see the sign, speed limit 35, they make the turn down Mariposa, and they're not slowing down. They're going pretty fast, even though it's marked 25. So that was a comment and a concern that can be changed to.
I actually had that on my list, because initially,
David, if I could.
I'm sorry.
Hold on a second. Go ahead, Connie.
Initially, Olivera Drive was supposed to connect from Old 3C all the way over to Highway 3. Those plans have been changed, and now we're obviously, should this pass, we're going to have homes there. That's the exact same concern I had, was that if that Olivera Drive is 35 and then it slows down to 25 when you get to where the residential homes start, that's confusing. We have enough issues in these subdivisions with people that go over the 25 anyway. My thought is if there's some way to change that to 25, let's not encourage people to ramp up before they have to slow down. But I don't know if that's the county or if that's us.
That's what I was... By the way, you're right. That got a higher speed limit because originally this was to be an arterial that went on up through there, that now that plan's all gone. And Connie's right. It depends on who has jurisdiction. It's either a township road or a county road. And that's what, David, do you know?
I believe subdivision roads are set by the township.
Township.
So, which means you and your police department can set the speed limit. Okay. But you might want to check with the chief on that in terms of who he thinks has jurisdiction.
Yep, we will. But thanks for bringing it up.
We support that.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, sir. Come on up.
Since Greg brought up the speed limit in the streets, is anyone aware that there is no... I noticed this the other day. I'm coming down Old 3. And there was a car real close to me, and I'm going to turn right into the subdivision on Olivero. There is no warning sign that says, the triangle warning that there is a side street coming up for either direction along. It's probably the county.
No, there's no sign that says
no sign that says there's a T intersection coming up.
Now that'd be a county issue.
That's a county issue.
We can bring it up to the county, and
okay, thank you.
That would be separate though. But yeah, it's a good idea. Okay. Anything else, folks? Very good. See, I wasn't so hard, was it? Y'all did very good. Thank you. Okay. Next would be applicant's response, but we had a pretty good dialogue there. David, anything else you want to add
what we'll do is we'll do a budget for adding this green space and these HOA obligations for 4 and 5. We'll do an economic study of that and show it to you. And, I guess a group of you can say we want to add this or we don't want to add it. We'll go either way.
Sir, if we could we have you on the mic? I know it's a bother, but we need it recorded.
One thing, I guess I wasn't clear about, on 4 to 5, my understanding was these are going to actually be patio homes. Is that correct?
Say it again.
That the development will be patio homes?
Will be one single story.
Probably. All single family homes?
We're still in the design phase of what houses that we're going to build in there. But right now in our brochures that we're showing right now, we're showing a lot of move down empty nest, we'll call them ranch style homes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But not maintenance free.
Okay. That was By the
way, they can't be maintenance free and be added to your HOA. If you decide to do maintenance free, definitely have to do
that. I guess that's what I was...
You can't do that.
Okay.
Can't have some people get their grass mowed
up. Yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, sure, come on. No, you're fine. Yeah.
Dan Brown, 4383 South Old 3C, mm-hmm. Right across the street. Okay. My question is on the current, it's the construction road, the gravel road going back. What happens to that once construction is done? Does that gravel get removed? And so it goes away, so that won't be an access for anything back there. Okay. Thank you.
Someplace in this text, here it is, page 3, item 2.
I'm sorry, Frank, what are you looking at? The tech review?
Looking at the memorandum. Okay. Dated May 22nd.
This is page 2.
Page 3.
Page 3.
Item 2.
Okay.
B.
Okay.
It says all construction traffic will utilize the Olivero Drive access point. And my question is, what is the purpose then of the current gravel driveway that's off of Old 3C Highway?
Right now, we have equipment coming through there. Also, what we have discussed is a potential of starting a model permit early on that one particular lot. So in the event, while those streets are being constructed, we would go in and start our model at simultaneously. So as soon as the streets are done, we can still access that.
Jim, I'm assuming that's to bring in heavy construction equipment for the site development, which you don't want to be using Olivero Drive. The big pans, right. Dozers.
But your text in the memorandum says all construction traffic will utilize the Olivero Drive access point. Is that correct or an incorrect statement?
What's that?
I think the thought there is construction of homes, not site development. Site development we don't consider as construction.
This says all construction traffic, so that would include site development and homes.
So why would we want that heavy equipment going through the township road, street, and...
I'm just saying that there's an inconsistency or error between the text and the memorandum and reality.
So we could make an exception by simply saying... land development.
I think we can just change the memorandum that says construction traffic will utilize a temporary.
We'll say after initial site development.
After initial site development. I think that was the intent. Yeah. Okay.
The CCs of this memorandum, as well as the technical review. Refer to individuals associated with Romanelli and Hughes. Is the Reserve at Vimmar LLC a subsidiary of Romanelli and Hughes?
It's an affiliate.
What is an affiliate?
Mr. Romanelli and certain others that are associated with Romanelli and Hughes own this LLC. But Romanelli and Hughes will be building. It's just they different people within the Romanelli and Hughes organization elect to invest in project development activities. Okay. They typically don't do those within Romanelli and Hughes.
On page one, it refers to wetland one and two, item 1F. And the next page refers to wetland number three. But what happens to wetlands one and two? Three is going to be preserved as part of the development. What's happening to one and two? I'm at the bottom of page one, item 1F.
I think that was good.
All three of them are being preserved the way we've got the plan laid out.
Can we notate that 1, 2, and 3 will be preserved as part of the development? 1 and 2 it just states that they're there, but it doesn't say what's going to happen to them.
Well, it's a jurisdictional wetland that will be preserved. So,
well,
are they jurisdictional?
If that's the case, then why does 3 say part of the development?
That's your staff that wrote that.
I think there may have been one of the previous iterations. Maybe those were going to go away. Possibly that changed, and I just missed it. And candidly, this memo is just for the edification of the board as part of this process. If this gets voted on tonight, this memo becomes an exhibit that it was part of this hearing, but it really has no bearing on any of this application going forward. The enforceable documentations will be the site plan, basically be that binder, the site plans in the development text, which is why I'm so persnickety about the development text. The tech review of the memorandum just becomes basically memorializes these proceedings, but there's no legal weight beyond this.
Could somebody then point out where wetlands 1, 2, and 3 will be on the site plan? I don't see that on our...
Right here.
Yeah, but that doesn't indicate that it's do not disturb in the development plan.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, we're now in board discussion, so just for the record, Frank, any other questions?
Yes. The stormwater basin total size was reduced from 3.27 to 3.10, and the difference of 0.16 was eliminated. Why? Why was that done?
Because the drawings that were done for the preliminary plan were just that. They were preliminary. They were prepared by another engineering firm before we got into the project. And then once we did our final calculations and did our grading plans and got all the water directed to it, we found that the area that we've got shown was actually all we needed. The original was just an early estimate. It's throwing a dart at a wall at that point for a preliminary plan. You don't run volumes of calculations like you do in final engineering.
How deep will the retention pond be?
I don't have it.
Round numbers.
With me, but I believe they are between 8 and 10 feet, the deepest point on the water surface now.
Where will the overflow from that pond drain to? Could you repeat that, please?
It will overflow through a weir, a constructed weir, a pipe here, that pipe, and there's an overflow weir that will take it into the existing channel where it goes today. But it will be released. That's on a very high frequency storm, maybe a 75-year to 100-year storm that will actually release through the weir. And we were required by county regulations to not release any more water than is there.
That impact the people on the properties in Vinmar 1, 2, and 3 that border on the southern border?
It will not, because we're releasing less water out of the basin than what we're actually requiring. That's why the basin is as large as it is.
Okay. A lot of my questions have already been answered either by the public's questions or by the applicant's responses. Well, I'm not finished yet, but you can go to Connie.
Okay.
And I can. So what was the decision with regard to the evergreens / deciduous trees?
I think we said we'll just do all evergreens if that's what people prefer. That's fine. Make that change.
That
sounds like the residents want that too.
Okay.
Okay. That's fine. We'll make that change.
The pole-mounted coach lights that'll be in the front yards, are those downlit, uplit, omni-lit?
It's like a lantern, like a coach lit, coach light.
Okay.
So it's
like a post lamp, like a little post lamp out
front. So 360 degrees,
yeah.
Like a bulb.
Well, 60, 70, 100-watt bulb, not
just like that. Just like that, where your driveway is going to be, going to typically reach the light where your mailbox was, but that's not the case anymore. But it's going to light up where your driveway is, you know, and it's going to turn into that. Plus, it is.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Let's see. On my list, I'm just unclear on something, and that's the name of this. Will the name be Vinmar Village, or will it be the first? I know we talked about the conglomerate of reserve at Vinmar Village. Is the name Vinmar Village? If not, will a different sign be needed?
We've not proposed any signs at this point.
Right. So and you'd have to come back with signs.
Right, that's right.
I'm asking
so
now.
If we want to change to reserve at Vinmar Village, we would have to come back with signs. So we're going to stick with Vinmar Village.
If we decide to change, we'll come back for
a sign approval.
Okay. And you understand that that would be, even if you use the same monument, but you change the lettering, yep, you still got to come back.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And we have to do that at the north end of Olivero anyway, because that's where it would start.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thus my question.
Okay.
I think everything else I have was addressed.
Okay.
So we're good.
Carl, you've got a resident comment out there.
Okay, 1 minute, please.
Joe just gave me all this.
Okay. All right, we had a resident. Yeah, come on up, sir. Sorry.
Greg Kotlick, again, 7879 Mariposa Drive. I have a question along the lines of what Connie just said. Right now, going down Mariposa Drive, there's two pillars marked Minmar Village. They have lights there that don't work, but nevertheless, they're there. And if you are going down Olivera to get to the other two phases of Minmar Village, it's not well marked. I mean, it's kind of...
If we decide to brand this differently there at the north end, we can't come in and change your signage. That's a part of your open space. We would have to do it at the north end. If we want to call a reserve of Minmar Village, that's where it would have to be identified.
Oh, okay. So as you...
You can't change yours.
Right. So you're going to have a separate pillars or something there?
Right now we have no plan.
No plan to do anything?
To change any naming or signage rights. We've not asked for any signage. We have to, that's what Ms. Goodman was pointing out. If we want to have signage, a new monument that says Reserve at Minmar Village, we've got to come back in and get that approved. Right. We're not asking for anything right now.
So after this is all developed, it'll just be the way it is right now? Two pillars?
Unless we ask for a change. And if we ask for a change, that sign can only be at the north end of Olivero where it is right now to transition into our development. We can't change your signage down.
No.
That's a part of your development.
I mean, it just seems like rinky-dink. You don't have anything going into the other phase if it's totally...
What's that? He'll put some pillars up there, he's saying, but...
Yeah, okay, that's cool. All right,
thank you. Okay. All right, and the thorough questioning really addressed, I think, all of mine. The only one on the multi-use path easement. Joe, would that easement be granted to the county, to us, or is that something we're going to have to figure out?
I think we're asking it to be to us or our designee, which would easily be the county.
Since it's along the county road, I didn't know how that would...
It's going to be on private property.
Private property.
Along the county road, but it's on private property. So
okay,
it makes
so
more
it could
sense
be
to us.
Yeah.
Eventually what could happen is either the county will come through and do it in their right-of-way, or they will expand the right-of-way
right.
Speaking hypothetically. And then they can do sort of what they're doing on South Hill 3C down toward closer to Mount Royal, and put one in as part of that. So
right.
What this does, it at least secures land
yeah.
that it could be done if the township wants to be the ones to go in and do it.
Okay. All right. Just more of a point of clarification. I mean, they are committed to doing it, which is good. So, all right. Any other questions, comments before I make a motion? We're going to kind of get through this based on some of the notes. So hopefully we'll catch it all. If we don't, we'll just keep working through it. So at this time, I'm going to move to concur with the Zoning Commission's recommendation of approval and thus approve with modifications the subject final development plan application, including all plans, materials, and diversions requests submitted by the Reserve at Vinmar LLC, to construct 71 single-family homes on approximately 74.946 acres of property located at parcel numbers 31721007017001, 31721007018000, and 31712005009000, currently zoned Planned Residential District, PRD, also known as Vinmar Village Sections 4 and 5, ZC Case Number 2019-04, incorporating Exhibits A through J, and any comments made by the applicant during this hearing, including, and this is where we'll go down through and add some of the things we've talked about. That the southern tree, the trees to be planted on the southern boundary will be HOA enforced and will consist of evergreens as opposed to a combination of evergreens and a deciduous mix. Mailbox kiosk, pull-off, eyebrow, etc. will be lighted. May include playground equipment, gazebo, etc., no restrooms, or other improvements. The deadline for landscape to be installed when the last permit is issued. Corrected final development plan package with the text and drawing be included. Address outstanding comments in the staff reports. That the 25 mile an hour speed limit will be considered by the township for Olivera Drive, and the construction vehicles will use Olivera Drive after initial site development. Did I miss anything?
Just to clarify,
yep.
We talked about no restrooms, and following that, it was improvements. We do want improvements. No restrooms, but improvements to include maybe playground equipment, gazebos, etc., just so that people think there's no improvements. Okay?
All right. My only clarification is we don't control the 25 mile an hour speed limit.
No,
this is simply you're going to pursue
we're
it.
We're going to pursue it. That's correct, yeah. I mean, it's not an obligation.
Yeah, just in clarification.
If I could I get a second to the motion?
Second.
Motion second. Now a discussion. Okay.
So I just have one question as it relates to the restrooms. So in the event, we're just doing that separate from coming back and having staff approval. In the event, we just say we love gazebo, want to put a restrooms in the gazebo, we can certainly do that at a later time. You're not prohibited.
I don't think there's a prohibition. I think it's just a matter that if you do decide to do it, you would have to come back through the process. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, restrooms themselves are not prohibited use, but the addition of a building or structure of that degree, I think, is required an amendment to the development.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And I would encourage you at that point to also have some plan for maintenance of it. We didn't go through a divergence review on this before we made a motion, but I would just like to note that in this particular case, as it was mentioned earlier, this is a very, very unique situation where we had a change from one zoning resolution to an updated one, and this one kind of covered both of those areas. So the fact that we are granting some divergences is based upon that particular timing issue. And that would include the divergences from 903.03, 903.04, and then changing the trees from a 2.5 to a 2-inch caliper.
Okay, motion's been made, seconded. Any other discussion?
I was previously opposed to the rezoning of these three parcels from rural residential to PRD and also the preliminary development plan. But because the applicant has requested two divergences to this proposed development, I'm not in support of it. Because I don't think that it promotes the health, safety, morals, and general welfare for the present as well as the future Genoa taxpayers. And I do not believe that it's compatible with the land uses of adjacent properties. It is compatible with the southern border properties, but the north, south, and west, I don't believe that it is. So I will not support, be voting in favor of this.
Okay. Roll call. Joe.
I'll call Mr. D'Antonio.
No.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gepper?
Yes. Motion carries. Plan has been approved. And yet, no other business coming before the board. I motion that we adjourn our hearing at 8:06.
I will will second that.
TM, seconded. Discussion, roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman? Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt? Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned.